The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please have a seat. You can tell by the front of your bulletin that today is Good Shepherd Sunday. And I think for a lot of us, certainly me, decades of Sunday school lessons and religious artwork have sort of conditioned us to think of this passage in a certain way. We read this proclamation about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, and we have this picture in our minds of this beautiful image that's in our window of Jesus with a little lamb in his arms, and we find it comforting and uplifting. But I think because that imagery of the Good Shepherd is so familiar to us, and maybe because we love it so much as an image, we're in danger of missing all that is going on in the passage. So to set this passage in context, we need to know that Jesus is speaking out in the middle of a major confrontation with the Jewish authorities. It's not a moment of peace. It's a moment of conflict. This comes right after Jesus had restored the sight of that man who was born blind. You remember the story. And Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath day, which was a big offense to the Pharisees and to all the others who had dedicated their lives to studying and following the law of Moses to the letter. That act of healing, and deliberately, I think, had set off a storm of controversy. First of all, the authorities tried to deny that it had even happened. They tried to say that that man standing there, able to see, wasn't the same man as the blind beggar that everybody had been used to seeing sitting by the roadside asking for spare change. It was just somebody that looked like him, they said. But then when the man's parents came and they confirmed this was indeed their son, that he had indeed been born blind, then they threatened the man and his parents and anybody else foolish enough to say they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They threatened them with expulsion from the synagogue, and they threatened the man unless he stated publicly that Jesus was a sinner because in healing him, he had broken the Sabbath. So, clearly Jesus had stirred up a real hornet's nest with that healing, and in the midst of all that hullabaloo, he started to speak about shepherds and gatekeepers and robbers. And pretty far from being nice and comforting and uplifting, Jesus' words in that moment were deliberately provocative. And specifically, he said two things. He made two claims that in that time and place were kind of shocking. First of all, in that crowd, and there must have been quite a crowd that had gathered when word got out about the healing of this blind man, In that crowd, pretty much everybody there would have been Jewish. They would have been raised on the Hebrew scriptures from the time they were a little bitty. They would have been accustomed to hearing the scriptures read every Sabbath in the synagogue. And when Jesus began to talk about good shepherds and bad shepherds, they would have known immediately that he was referring back to these old prophecies of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, where God was crying out against the leaders of Israel, calling them bad shepherds of the people. It would have been a little bit like somebody here saying, one if by land and two if by sea. Any American man, woman, or child would instantly think of the midnight ride of Paul Revere and the Revolution and the British soldier, because that's part of our cultural heritage. It was like that in that moment when Jesus talked about the bad shepherds who were thieves and robbers, and the good shepherd who cared for the sheep. The people in the crowd would have remembered the words of Jeremiah, who said, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." And they would certainly have remembered the words of Ezekiel, who wrote this: "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them." And God said this: "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them to lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them. They, the house of Israel, are my people." So you see what Jesus was saying when he cried out, "I'm the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I came that they may have life." The people standing there would have had to be pretty deliberate in missing that he was making the shocking public claim that he was the Messiah sent from God to be the shepherd of the people. That in fact, he was God, and because he was claiming to be God, he was also claiming that the people of God, God's own flock, belonged to him. And that was shocking thing number two, because just notice who the sheep turned out to be when Jesus came. Notice who it was that had heard his voice. Who was it that came flocking to Jesus by the hundreds, by the thousands? Not the Pharisees and the scribes, not the religious upper crust. It was that blind beggar who was much more representative sample of the flock of the Good Shepherd. If the people of God, the holy sheep of God, if they were truly those who heard the call of Jesus' voice, what a strange and surprising flock it was. Blind beggars and prostitutes and Samaritans, women and children, tax collectors and adulterers and lepers. It was all the dregs of society, it seemed, who heard the voice of Jesus, and they came out like the children of Hamelintown followed the Pied Piper. But if Jesus was indeed God, as he claimed, then those dregs, those outcasts and lowlifes, they were the beloved, called people of God. That was the claim that he was making. And John tells us that the Jews were divided among themselves about what Jesus was claiming. Half of them said, obviously, he is crazy, out of his mind. Or he's demon-possessed, or maybe both. This can't be true. And the other half weren't so sure of themselves. They sort of reserved their judgment. They saw that blind man standing in front of them, who now clearly could see. And they thought, how could a lunatic open the eyes of the blind? Is it possible? And they began to wonder, is it possible that he might be whom he says he is. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, it's our joy and firm belief that Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind and who made the lame walk and unstopped the ears of the deaf, that he is our Good Shepherd. He is our Lord and our God. We believe that. We believe that he's called each person here by name, not in a big mass, but each one by name, Charlie, Shirley, and Sharon, each one of us. We believe that we have, even now, not in the future, but now, the abundant life of the Spirit. But there's more to know, because if we know that we're his sheep, we need to understand and to accept that everybody who's heard his voice is being drawn into his sheepfold, no matter who they are, no matter how acceptable or unacceptable they might seem to us or us to them. Because the only thing that matters is that we all belong to the one shepherd. We all recognize the one voice. We all share the same abundant life. We might be rich or poor, we might be married or divorced or widowed, we might be man or woman or a brand new baby, we might be a nurse or a teacher or a farmer or a priest, we might be retired or unemployed, we might be gay or straight or transgender, we might be black or white or brown, we might be handicapped, we might be mentally challenged, we might be alcoholic or a cancer patient or homeless. That whole big mess of us, we are the flock. We all alike belong to the one and only Good Shepherd. We all have heard his voice who said, I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And that's all of us. That's us, the sheep of Jesus Christ. All of us who have been or maybe still are lost and strayed and injured and weak. We who recognize ourselves so clearly when we look up at that window every Sunday and we see that helpless lamb that our Lord holds in his arms. And so today we honor the Good Shepherd and we welcome in every sheep that has heard his voice.